Hey guys, Harry G from Around the House. You know, we just dropped our first member-exclusive podcast with Jeff Tracy from Barbecue Nation. He actually interviews me to find out my history and how I got this far and what I did to learn construction and DIY projects. We also discuss things that, well, don't go to plan and how I battled adversity early on in my career, including some pretty poor decisions in my younger life. We even talk about how I ended up in Rolling Stone magazine. Now, if it was only for playing music. To find out more information, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com and sign up for Around the House Insider Premium Membership. Not only do you get to hear the weekend show a couple days early, you get all these member-exclusive content. And it's only $4. Now that's even cheaper than a beer at happy hour.
Get you on the radio, yeah, you gotta get on the radio.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where Dan and I have a good time in the studio, and we talk about your home improvement projects. How do we talk about your home improvement projects?
By getting you on the radio.
You got it. Call in 503-417-9595. Join us at 503-417-9595. And all of you, I want to say thank you that have been joining us on Facebook, because, man, you guys have been jumping on there today. I appreciate it. Follow, like, all that good stuff. Around the House with Eric G. Or you can just go up into that little search button. It's a little white box. Just type in at ATHKXL. It'll come up there. Like, follow, all that stuff. So we want you to join us here in the conversation. We've got a lot to talk about today, like we always do. We've had some great callers last hour. Well, if you missed it, don't worry. That's going to be up on all over the radio. It's going to be all over the place here, because we have that in a podcast. Just about any podcast format you can find out there, so whether it's SoundCloud, Google, iTunes, I think we're everywhere. So,
and if we're not, let us know.
Yeah, if you can't find us on one of those formats, it might be I'm not aware of it, you're not aware of it, we'll figure it out. So we're going to talk about this hour, besides your calls, we're going to talk a little bit about lighting up your life a little bit, because for so many people, when you get home from work starting this next week, it's going to be a lot darker than it was last week. So lighting becomes a much bigger issue. So we're going to talk a little bit about LED lights here. But I do want to talk to Ryan and Camus here, who's calling in. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Good, man. What can I help you with today?
So I've got a house that was built in 99. And parts of my house, when I flip the light switch, seems like every few months, man, I'm blowing a light bulb. Either my light fixtures or my I have LED lights in my recessed lighting.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure what's going on. Upstairs, it's you know, definitely not an issue. It's just seems like one downstairs corner of my house.
Okay. Is there a specific? Here's the thing. What kind of light fixtures are they going into? Is this a like a recessed can, or is this a is this more going inside of a fixture that has like a cover over it?
It's both. They are recessed cans in my kitchen. I have six of them. And then the other thing is they're actual light fixtures, you know, standing lights in my front room.
Okay.
So they're a little bit of both.
Okay, there's two things with LED lights, and that you got the perfect timing on this. Make sure that you're buying an LED light that is meant for an enclosed fixture.
Okay.
Because here's what happens is LED lights have these heat sinks in there that kind of keeps them, tries to keep them cool. But if you don't have one that's rated for going inside a fixture, then it gets too hot. It burns up that transformer type starter that lights up the LED, and then it quits prematurely for you. So if you're burning those up in those fixtures, they're probably ones that are not rated for an enclosed light fixture.
Okay, perfect.
So that's the simple one there. I would take a look too, is if you know, here's the thing with LED lights, when you're getting, I like to get good ones. I've had some pretty bad luck with some of the off brands, and even some of the warehouse brands. I haven't had their house brands, I haven't had the best of luck with. When you get into the more commonly known lighting brands out there, I think you'll have some better luck with fixtures. But I would go through and, one, make sure that they've got a good warranty on them. And then it's not a bad idea to look and see if they're Energy Star rated when you're purchasing them, because the Energy Star does a fair amount of testing to make sure that they last as long as they claim they're going to last. So that's another way to make sure you're getting a good light bulb.
Okay. Cool. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening to Around the House. That leaves another line open at 503-417-9595. 503-417-9595. Great topic for lighting.
Super timely.
Yeah. Jeez, love it, guys. Keep those calls coming in. So here's the thing, and like we were talking about there with light bulbs, I have eliminated in my life just about every incandescent bulb and fluorescent bulb out of my life. Now, I do have one exception in my home office because I do have some light bulbs in there because I do design work still. I still have an incandescent bulb in there because, one, I need to burn through those light bulbs, but, two, I kind of like that natural light coming out of that bulb light so I can see what it's going to look like.
When you're looking at design stuff, absolutely. Yeah,
colors, I like it for that. So that way I'm not fighting as much the color temperature. So I use that just kind of as my natural light. I'll open the blinds up, use that, and I kind of know at least that's my fixed color. As soon as I run out of light bulbs here, I'm not buying any more. I just got a box from when I first moved in that when I did my LED conversion, I had a lot of good light bulbs. I wasn't going to just throw them out. So I'm using that for a couple of reasons. But here's the thing. When you go through and change out those bulbs, one, you're going to save yourself some significant energy. And nobody likes paying that electric bill. Why not make it a lot smaller? And it pays for itself pretty quickly. A lot of bulbs out there, you know, you buy the new bulbs today, now that they're not being made in the U.S., those new bulbs, if you're still buying an incandescent bulb, that you can still get them out there if they're rated heavy duty. That's kind of the commercial word to get you around the bulb laws out there. But here's the thing. When you're dealing with those, they don't last as long as they did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They're just poorly made. So get rid of those. And if you've got the compact fluorescent bulbs, get rid of those, but get rid of those safely. You know, turn them into the home improvement store. They still have mercury in most of them. Mercury, not good.
Don't put that in your landfills. Don't put that in your trash can.
It's not good to put in your trash can. It's not good to break them. That's why I originally didn't like them in my house, because last time I looked, and I haven't looked in probably 6 months, last time I was on the EPA website, there is a 3-page document of how to clean up a compact fluorescent bulb breakage inside your house.
Three pages.
And the first one is remove all the children and pets and open up all the windows. I don't want that in my house.
Now, if those are the precautions, the first precaution you have to take, yep, you don't want it in your house.
And the second one is never, ever use a vacuum because you're going to take all that mercury and float it around your house.
Yep.
So, again, these are things that you got to be careful with. So I have eliminated those and gone to LED. LED does bring in a whole bunch of different things with lighting. As much as I love LED lights, you need to be careful of what you're doing with them. You can still overload circuits with them. You still need to have the right dimmers. Nice thing is, though, is you can start playing with home automation. And one of these days here, hopefully by the end of the year, I'm going to bring in a home automation expert so we can really start talking about getting everything to talk to each other. Smart home stuff that we can all do ourselves. So that's going to be one of the fun things that we'll dive into that a little bit deeper. But today we're just going to be talking about lights and getting the right light bulb. Before we go out to break, I want to talk about real quick about color temperature and lumens. This is something we're going to talk about when we come back. Color temperature is how much yellow, how much blue, and we're going to talk about that when we come back, as well as lumens, which is how much light output that comes out. But when we come back, we'll take all your calls. Dave McMinnville, sit tight. 503-417-9595. 503-417-9595. Just as soon as Around the House returns. This is where we talk home improvement every Saturday afternoon. A little Ronnie James Dio doing Aerosmith. When do you ever see that?
Unfortunately, not anymore.
I know it. See? Sad.
Yeah.
Good guy. Anyway, this segment is brought to you by Western Construction Systems. It's a cracked or crumbling foundation. Killing your real estate deal. For a free inspection, contact Western Construction Systems. The integrity of your foundation is their specialty guaranteed. And that is CCB number 94222. I want you to join the conversation. We got a lot of calls lined up here. We're going to run right through. But 503-417-9595. Jump in line at 503-417-9595. Make sure you join us on Facebook at Around the House with Eric G. That's where this show goes all week long. Let's jump out to Dave in McMinnville. You've been patiently waiting. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi. I have this one line coming straight from my breaker to the back of the garage. I was going to put a freezer or use it for heavy machinery use. But it's a one tested, like a GFI tester resetter type of thing.
Yep.
But every time I try to use it, it cuts out, flashes, or something, and the appliances won't work on it.
Yeah, here's the thing. First off, GFCIs are a wearable outlet. So those things, when they get worn out, which is probably every 10 years or so, even less depending on how it's used, is going to be where it's going to kick off on anything. So that's first off. Second of all, GFI outlets are not really great for heavy machinery and refrigerators and stuff either. So I would probably have an electrician come in and change that out, maybe even run another circuit over there so you can still have that GFI outlet for running your stuff in the garage, and then have another outlet that's going to be dedicated that's going to hold up a lot better for you that'll work for your freezer and heavy machinery.
Oh, so I don't need that particular one on a one-line circuit.
No, I would rather have that freezer be on its own circuit. If you were building a new home and you were putting in a freezer in an area and you said, this is where the freezer is going to go, in most areas, the electrician would put in a standard single circuit just for that freezer outlet, and it wouldn't be a GFI outlet.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, man, thanks for calling in. Appreciate you listening to Around the House. Let's run out here to Toby in Prineville. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi, my name's Toby. How are you?
Good, man. Excellent. Thanks for calling in. What can I help you with?
Well, I have a 1972 home that my wife and I live in, and the probably three quarters of the home all of a sudden doesn't have power. And here's what I'm finding. I'm finding that on the hot lead on your black, I've got 110 volts if I go black to the bare copper ground.
Okay.
If I try to go from black over to white, I get nothing. So it's like the neutrals dropped out of the circuit, but on that entire side of the house. And I've been to my circuit panel, looked at my whites being hooked up, everything looks tight, and I'm just trying to figure out what the deal is.
72, there were also a lot of panels back of that era that have been recalled. They've had a lot of issues with panels of that era, of them
really
having problems like this. I would sure, when you lose a lot of the house like that, I kind of start back at the panel and work out from there. And you could easily have a panel that's got a problem with the back bus bar or something in the back of that, where that's not working correctly, where you're not getting the neutral all the way up through the panel even.
Okay, I was just wondering, because I got to thinking, you know, there's no way that's daisy chained that many circuits, you know, because I've got a substantial amount of circuit breakers in there. I've tested each one, you know, they're putting out 110, you know, on each one. And I've lost that neutral bar, and I'm about ready to pull my hair out.
Yeah, I am not an electrician, so I don't want to pretend like I even play one on radio and television here. But I tell you what, that's where I would start with. And I think an electrician would be a good one for you, just to jump in there. And it's probably something that they're going to run into a lot more than even I do. So that's where I would start, is back at that panel.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate you listening around the house. Let's run out here to John and Westland. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi.
Hey, what can I help you with today?
Well, I know you guys are fans of the Panasonic ceiling and bathroom fans.
Yes, sir.
I've got a big house with six bathrooms, and I've been toying with replacing the older, I guess they're probably made by a company, you know, called Braun.
Yeah, Braun Nutto. Good stuff, yeah.
And what's the deal? I know the Braun has like a base that gets added, you know, during the construction process. In the motor you can pop out to clean and what have you. But how hard is it to actually replace a Braun fan with, say, the newer Panasonic?
Sometimes it's pretty easy. It's just depending on what you have up behind it, if you have good access to it. I've gone in and knocked those things out. Is a pretty simple project. I've had it where I've had to fight them a little bit, depending on if you've got insulation or if you've got another floor up above it where you've got a tight access into it. But it's not too bad. And it's depending on how much the installer installed everything in there to begin with, if it was installed correctly, if it's actually ducted out. You know, sometimes I've gotten into 70s homes, for instance, where it just ducts out into the into a crawl space or attic vent, or even into the space between floors. So depending on how much work they've done on it, if it was done correctly, probably not that big of a deal.
So you typically do have to do it from above, is that correct?
Yeah, in most cases. Sometimes you can only get it from the bottom side, from the location, and then small hands are a nice thing with that. But if they've done it that way, then usually you can still get it. But sometimes you can't get it from the bottom side because they've got hard pipe and they've put screws in from the top, and you're not getting it from that direction without doing some drywall work.
Yeah, I know it was vented properly because it's a newer house. I think they pulled permits in 2007.
Okay.
I've been in the attic. But now, I also wanted to ask you, I understand Braun makes a replacement motor kit for some of these fans. It's supposed to be a little quieter. Do you have any experience with those?
Yeah, they're better. I mean, Braun has really come away. Panasonic took a lot of business away from for the longest time. And, you know, they just came out with a lot better fan. Now, Braun Newtone's been jumping in and trying to up their game, and they've gotten a lot closer to what the Panasonics are doing, no question. So, yeah, I mean, you could try one. If you could just pop a fan out, man, that's going to save you a ton of time. So it wouldn't be
bad to try
that experiment one time and throw it in there. Worst case, you can take it back if you put it in there, install it, and go, nope, not good enough for me. You can always start over and do it, but that would be a first way to go to see if it gets you close to where you want to without diving into that big project.
Listen, I really appreciate your help, and I'm a longtime listener. Listen to Handyman Bob and you for a long time, and thanks again.
John, thanks for listening, man. We appreciate you. Give us a call next time with your next project. Love it. I'm going to hold on here before we go out to Mark in Milwaukee. We're going to keep you on hold here because we're going to run out of time here. We've got a lot of great calls coming in. I want you to join in the conversation here, too, at 503-417-9595. 503-417-9595, because that call left another spot for you to call in for. When we come back, we're going to be taking all these calls. We're going to be talking LED lighting as well. Check us on Facebook at Around the House with Eric G. We'll be back after these important messages. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement each and every Saturday afternoon. I want you to join us in the conversation. We've got full line of phones right here, but we've got a little more room to slide you in at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. And make sure you go over and follow us on Facebook so you can see all of our pictures and what we're talking about here on the radio. You'll get us over there at Around the House with Eric G, or just search us and type in at ATHKXL. This segment Around the House is brought to you by Adair Homes, building quality custom homes throughout the Pacific Northwest for nearly 50 years. Find a design center near you at AdairHomes.com, and that is CCB number 593. Let's jump out here to John in Beaverton. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, once I called your screener, I missed part of the call with the gentleman you were talking to about his electrical problem.
Yes, sir.
I'm a retired licensed electrician.
Excellent.
I just keyed on the first thing that he said, and because I can't tell you how many times people would call me and say, I've lost power in half the house. And most of the time it was, and especially in an older home like that, they'll have one circuit that dances through several bedrooms and even into a bathroom. And most of the time, you never want to troubleshoot anything just saying, this has got to be what it is.
Yep.
It's those cheap stab-in receptacles.
Oh, man, you're not kidding.
Yeah, so what will happen is that neutral, because he's got an open neutral, it sounds like, that's what he described, they'll get loose, and they'll be, it'll stop at an outlet, and everything else beyond that is, so one of my thoughts for the gentleman, if he's still listening, is he's got one of those little three-prong testers that that tells you whether you can plug that into the outlets and then rock it back and forth.
Oh, smart.
Have a lamp plugged in, because I wouldn't want to tell him to, you know, go in and open things up. I mean, it depends on his abilities and knowledge and being careful not to. But you can rock those back and forth a little bit, and then the lamp is plugged into the out to the you know, down the line that he can see, and the light you know, the light might come on.
Yeah, and that's smart, because you're right, because what happens is back in those 70s homes, it's not like today where, you know, the light circuits in the outlets are on different circuits on a new house today. Back then, it would go from, you know, the outlets in bedroom one to the ceiling lights to the hall to the bedroom two to the outlets to the lights, and they would just daisy chain around.
Yeah, very, very lightly circuited. But that's one option that he, you know, that he could look at. But, I mean, I was going to say, too, you can go into your panel, but I wouldn't want to tell him to do that and tighten neutral connections. But that's, you know, sometimes you'll get a loose wire on the neutral bar. You know, it sounds like he's already gone in and checked the power on the breakers. It's got 120, but it's that neutral that's open somewhere. But that would be my guess, is that somewhere there's an outlet, and they use the same outlets today. You know, the stab in
yep.
outlets. If I ever did a job, I always replaced it with ones with screws, so you could get a good tight connection. But that was just my input to help out. So.
John, I really appreciate it. I love it when the experts call in like yourself, man. Feel free to pop in anytime. You're welcome joining in as an expert here on Around the House. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, man. Bye. All right, great call. Hey, let's run out to Mark in Milwaukee. You've been waiting a long time. Welcome to Around the House.
How you doing?
Good, man.
I've
what can I help you with?
Before.
Well, thanks, man. We love you. Thanks for making the jump. We appreciate it.
Okay. You know, there was a caller, and I missed half of this conversation because I was driving. But then, you know, you were talking about LED lighting, and people sometimes, you know, are kind of weary of it.
Sure.
Best thing to do with LED, you know, you can get it in strips, which I love, against like inside the cabinets, you know, very low profile. Have you ever seen the little glue on strips and things like that?
I use those all the time. They're amazing.
They're amazing. And then, you know, the thing is with LED lighting is to make sure that, you know, because people that are doing it by themselves, you know, we've noticed over the years that if everything is soldered together, use high quality wiring, get it stripped properly,
yep.
make sure all the connections are soldered, because this is what a lot of people don't do, is they put in wire ties, and
yep.
it just doesn't last. And I'm not sure if you told people this ahead of time. And then always when you go with the transformer that you're going to have inside the wall to go to 24 volts somewhere.
Yep.
Always make sure that you use the highest cooling transformer, because just like in anything else, if the transformer goes bad, everything goes bad.
No question.
So
great tips, Mark. I mean, that's good stuff right there, because yeah, those transformers always get shoved in a small space, usually with not a lot of airflow as well.
I know they do, because you hide them behind. I've seen them where they go in like the kitchens. Then what they do is they slide them behind the cabinets in the back of the cabinets, so you can't see them on the inside when you're looking on the inside.
Yep.
And now you have next to no airflow. And then you know, if you don't go for the highest cooling one, it will overheat, and you would have to pull everything back off and redo it someday.
You got it. Thanks for calling in, Mark. We really appreciate your input. Let's run out here real quick to Julian Beaverton. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi, is it me?
Yes, it's you.
Okay, hi.
Hi, Julie.
Okay, so I have the weirdest thing. So my thermostat, actual wall mount,
okay.
The digital numbers and turning on the thermostat is just blank. Like, the numbers are blank, and the thermostat won't automatically come on for heat or air conditioning.
Okay.
And so I popped off the front of it, and because I know there's batteries in there, and I put new batteries in, and I still have a blank screen and can only turn on my heater or my air conditioning manually if I turn it to cool or heat and then auto.
You've got a couple of things that could be going on there. One, you could just have a thermostat failure. You also could have a loose connection. So if you pop that cover off back probably where the batteries are, and I don't know your exact thermostat because everyone's a little bit different, make sure that all those little wires are tight on the screws back there.
Make sure
those are tight. What can happen, too, is that that thermostat could be working great. And so many times when have an air conditioning company or a heating company come out, they won't run where that thermostat wire goes into your main furnace right there. That will sit there and rub on the frame of the hole where it came in. So they punch a hole for that wire to go into the unit. So a lot of companies out there that are just, I see this on the builder grade stuff, especially on units that were new at the house. There's companies out there that'll take a shortcut. They won't put a little grommet on that, and that wire will just sit there and rub, and it'll break through that. So you might not even have power going to that thermostat, but I would sure take a look. It might just be a simple, you know, before you call a technician out, you can go out and get a new thermostat, throw it on there, and see if that fixes it for you.
I tried to order one online, and it's not the same one. And it looked like it, but it's not. This is an older home, so I don't know.
Okay. Here's one thing you can do, too, which is kind of nice. Like, I bought and installed at my house one of the Nest thermostats, one of the electronic ones. They're a little bit more, but what's amazing with those is that you can actually go online and go onto the Nest website, and they will actually tell you how to install your furnace on there. So you'll take the color of the wires and what that is and put it in there. It'll tell you how to do it for you.
Okay. So if I can't get it to work, then I don't call a heat company. I call it
electric. If you can't get it to go, I would call somebody like Pyramid Heating and Cooling, come out there, and they'll fix it for you.
Okay. That's what I need to know.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Thanks for listening to Around the House. All right. We're going to have to go out to break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Phil in Pendleton, who's been patiently waiting. And it'll be the last segment of the show.
Already?
Already.
Man.
We'll touch on that just as soon as Around the House returns. All over the radio
with you. First things first, I'm a craftsman. Remodeling is my only passion.
It's my passion.
And I'm the greatest in the business. Want referrals, yo? My clientele will bear you witness.
Right.
I can help when your door jam sticks. There is nothing in the world I can't fix.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement. Got a little Weird Al going on here. Always fun on a Saturday afternoon. Want you to join us in the conversation here. We're not going to take any more calls because we've got a full phone list here. We're going to try to get to people. But if you want to have more questions for us to ask, head over to Facebook, Around the House with Eric G, or at ATHKXL. You can always send me an email at ATH@KXL.com. Want to make sure and get you out the right one here. Let's run out to Phil in Pendleton, who has been patiently waiting. Welcome to Around the House.
Yes.
What can I help you with?
I've got a 50-year-old case toilet that we love better than anything on the market. I hate to replace it, but the porcelain, the glaze is worn. I'm wondering if it can be reglazed anywhere.
Not really, because that's a ceramic toilet that's got a glaze over the top of it like a piece of tile. The best you're going to do is to be able to have somebody paint it once, but after that, there's not much you can do with that.
You can't go back through a foundry and reglaze them.
Not that I've ever seen, because you're going to bust that thing up trying to get that glaze off of it to begin with. That was glazed when it was first fired, so you really can't do that again. Right. I haven't seen anybody successfully pull that off.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, good. Good luck out there, Phil. That's a great one, and sorry I can't help you. Plus, there's a lot of good Toto toilets out there that work really well if you have to replace it. Let's run out of here quickly to Ben. Listening in KONA and Kennewick, welcome to Around the House.
Hi, thanks for having me on the air.
No problem, man.
I have a 2,500 square foot home.
Okay.
Half the home is two-story vaulted.
Okay.
And I have my HVAC system up in my ceiling.
Okay.
My attic. My the control panel is on the second story. So my issue is my downstairs gets very, very cold.
Yep.
Or remains cold, and my top floor is very, very warm. I've had a couple HVAC guys come out, and they, of course, want to resell me a whole new system, upsize it, all this sort of stuff.
Sure.
I'm not too sure what my options are. One option, I think, is dampened or louver the HVAC lines themselves to try and push more air downstairs.
Yep.
Or just to put a bunch of ceiling fans throughout the home.
Here's one thing you can do, and I've only got a couple minutes here because we're going to be at the end of the show, but I'd have somebody as well, like Daco, come out and take a look at it. That's who I used to live in the Tri-Cities, so that's who I used to work with all the time on my stuff. I'd have them look at it. One thing that I did on my house that's always helped is I changed out, and we talked about it a minute ago, I used that Nest thermostat. What I did is I used that as my normal thermostat. They make for about $30 or $40 these little Bluetooth auxiliary ones that you can put in a couple of those in different locations of your house. What it will do is it will sense with that and go, oh, wow, I've got a 7-degree difference between upstairs and downstairs. It'll kick the fan on and try moving the air around the house a little bit. That helped with me. That changed my heating and cooling difference between the upper and lower floors. I was running 7 or 8 degrees. Now I'm running maybe 2 in the house.
Okay.
That has helped
a
lot.
Because my fan going all the time.
Not all the time, but it will kick on. I'll be sitting there at home, and maybe in an hour, I'll see it kick on once or twice for a few minutes, but it's depending on what it's reading between the two. The problem you run into is as well is if you damp down that, you could be, on an old system, you might be putting a lot of pressure on that as well, because it needs to have that constant airflow. I will say, and I know it's expensive, if you've got a 15 or older year system, a new one going in there is really going to get you dialed in and save you probably a ton of money.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Especially in the Tri-Cities where you got a heavy winter and you got a hot summer, that probably will pay for itself pretty quickly for you.
Yep. Yep. We have the two extremes. So
you do. Fun. I grew up there, so I know it well, brother. So.
All right.
All right. Good luck out there. Thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate you listening to Around the House. That's great. Man.
Great
where'd
show.
The time go?
Great show. These are the shows I love, where we can really, you know, have a connection with our audience, have a lot of callers, answer a lot of questions, and then also we are seeing quite a bit of people joining us on Facebook. Great show today.
We didn't even get to half of what I want to get to on lighting, so we're going to dive into some of that next week as well, because we've got a fun show ahead, because we're going to talk about some healthy homes as well.
Are we procrastinating on lighting?
We are procrastinating on lighting. That is our procrastinating topic of the week. All these great calls, I love it, because that's where we ended up.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody. That's all the time we got for this week. Our thanks to the grand executive producer, Dane Vodder, for making the show sound great. Steve Moffat, who ran the communications center well, and Jeff Thomas for keeping us track and on air. Well done, guys. Most of all, though, I want to thank you for listening. We want you to join us next week from noon to 2, where once again we talk about maintenance, repair, designing for modeling, and, of course, renovation of your home. Until then, be sure you do what you love and love what you do. This is the Radio Northwest Network. I'm Eric G., and you've been listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with Design by Eric G. LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2018. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast on AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with chalk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
We're all over the radio.
We have some exciting news about the Around the House podcast. Do you want to be an Around the House insider? Our premium membership gives you early access to the weekend podcast, exclusive access to our back catalog of shows, special email access to me, Eric G., with your own home improvement questions with a priority email address, plus exclusive new shows and extended content. Click down into the podcast show notes for the link to the Around the House insider membership for less than the price of a beer at happy hour. Join me for this limited amount of exclusive members. And thanks for listening to Around the House.